Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sic Parvus Magnum Podcast. And we're here with Sammy Lam. Am I saying that right? Lam?
Yes, sir.
Lam? Awesome. Sorry. I just want to make sure. I'm really bad at name pronouncing. I can't even say my last name because I can't roll my R's. But we are here today to learn about the Wine Cowboy and what he does to make his business and how he got there. I'm personally really excited because I'm a huge alcohol enthusiast. I love all kinds of alcohol. Wine, honestly, being my least suit. But it's something I just don't know about. So I'm hoping to learn about a lot about wine today for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much. I mean, it looks like you've been doing this on this rebranded podcast for 16 episodes, or this is the 16th episode. So I'm excited to continue what you're creating here. And you know, really wish you the best as we continue to see this project grow and reach larger and larger audiences.
Oh yeah, man. All about it.
So once again, is it on Facebook?
Yeah, it's on Facebook. I could actually send you the link if anything. But yeah, man. I mean, so give us some background, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself and you know, where you come from, school, any of that good stuff. Long, old, it don't really matter.
Awesome. So, hey guys, Sammy Angel, I'm here, originally from McAllen, Texas. So down in the Valley, Rio Grande Valley, whoop, whoop. And so if you're from the Valley, there's no wine drinking down there. I mean, there's your Modelo, Tecate, Corona, maybe some Sol and Chivas, you know, in Bucanas. I mean, that's what you see at quinceañeras or at weddings. I mean, this is what you're used to. But, you know, I come from a family that doesn't drink. So naturally, you know, you would have said, well, how did you jump into the world of wine? And, you know, it wasn't until college, right? Everybody blames college for their drinking habits. But it wasn't until college that I discovered alcohol in general and the world of wine. So I quickly found the art to alcoholic beverages and what it was that made them so special rather than, you know, just meant for having a good time. Yeah. There was something deeper in that sense. And so I'll go straight at it. I'll jump to the personal, I guess, origin story. You know, everyone's got one. So my mother, my parents, I'll say, my parents were split up for the most part during my childhood. And so when my parents split up, we had moved my mother and I to San Antonio. And at that point, you know, I think we were there for 2 years before she passed. And I was about to graduate high school. So I was about to be first generation college student trying to figure out what it was that I wanted to do with my life. My parents didn't know how to guide me in terms of, like, you know, what scholarships to look for, what schools to apply for. They knew that, you know, as a Hispanic family, they wanted to be close to their kids, they wanted to support them, and they wanted to see them succeed. And as one that's, you know, so connected in this type of culture and this type of mindset, as soon as you lose your mentor, your role model, it's a big hit and you don't know where to go. And so I stayed in San Antonio. I went to Our Lady of the Lake University, and man, I'll tell you what, so I had gone there for the reason of pursuing a major in telecommunications. And they changed that, like, as soon as I stepped foot in that door the first semester. So then I was like, all right, well, I'm gonna get into music production, because I actually wanted to produce music. I wanted to be next Deadmau5, you know. But then they canceled their music production degree like halfway through the semester. So everything was just being cut down, and I mean, they were going through some financial struggles, and so they were having to kind of cut their offerings. And I was just like, man, what do I do? And in that semester, like, because all the things that I was trying to do that in a sense my mother had influenced me to kind of pursue, she wanted me to be either a talk show host or a radio host, kind of like what you're doing. So, you know, she'd be very proud of you actually right now. She'd be like, why aren't you being like Juan?
That's
drinking
cool. I mean, you're really charismatic, to be fair. Like I think personally, like, when I see your videos, and you're really outspoken, so it makes sense, quite frankly.
Dude, thank you so much. I mean, it's was kind of like her always trying to push what she wanted. You know, she wanted the spotlight, she wanted to be in the world of artists, but she liked to be behind the scenes. So she wanted me to hopefully go in the front of the stage and kind of take on. But yeah, I was just like, I don't know, like, I don't really want to do it, but radio and telecommunications were something to think about and kind of get me into that kind of side of the industry. So with that being cut down, then I was like, well, music production, I can still be on stage, but I don't have to be really on stage. So I was kind of like in the middle, like outgoing introvert, I guess you can say, you know, somebody that likes to be there, but also likes to go get away from the crowd. So, yeah, I was just trying to figure out life, and I went to a study abroad program. I mean, you know, having not necessarily a reason to be in San Antonio, I didn't mm-hmm. really have friends there. We had just moved there, and I went to this school. I had, you know, no idea who was going to go from my high school at that point. I was like, yeah, let's look at what opportunities exist. And there was this program called Semester at Sea. So I don't know if you ever heard of this program, but it is amazing.
Is it similar to like study abroad? At least that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a study abroad program, yeah. But it's like the show from Disney, The Suite Life on Deck with Zach and Cody, you know?
Oh, no shit. That's kind of cool.
As a student, you get to live and study on a ship. And so you take, I think, anywhere from 3 to 4 courses, depending mm-hmm. if you're doing summer or fall or spring, stuff like this. And you get to travel to anywhere from 8 to 12 countries, depending on the size of your semester, if you're doing summer or a full term.
Yeah.
And so... Mm-hmm. I applied, man. I was like, I don't think I can afford this. You know, I come from the Valley. We don't come from much. And so, but there were scholarships, you know, scholarships at that point, especially having just lost my mother, brought in this kind of opportunities for me that, mm-hmm. you know, if I could, obviously, I'll just say this right now, like if I could take all that back to get my mother, of course, you know, I prefer to have that because there's nothing like losing a parent. There's nothing to replace a lost parent, you know? And so, mm-hmm. I just wanted to fill that void, and with the scholarship opportunity, I was like, let's do this. So before I get to that phase, I'll preface by saying there were 3 things that my mother loved in life. And so as her kid, I would want to honor her in whatever way, shape, form that I could. So she loved wine, even though she didn't drink much of it or knew much about it. She loved her Franzia. I mean, bag and box, you know, low shelf, cheap, but it was the best memories that I had of her during my teenage years, which is, you know, when you're going through all these emotional things. And so we would sit once a week on Sundays typically, and we'd sit on the balcony and she'd, you know, pour herself a little glass of Franzia, maybe 2 maxed. and then she'd just talk to me about life. And, you know, it was our day together. Like it was bonding moments. And for me, that was very special. And she was like, there was always that small intent of like, oh man, I wish I knew what this wine, why this wine is so special or something like this. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuck with me. I was like, oh, that'd be cool to, you know, maybe take her to a wine class one day and kind of share that experience. But at that point, I didn't even drink. I mean, I was in high school and stuff. So I knew nothing about it either. So I was like, in the future. Mm-hmm. And then she also loved cruises. So, you know, being in Texas, Galveston is not too far away. And we would save up all year long to do this one holiday cruise, 5 to 7 days, depending on what the offers were. Yeah. And so it was like our year's worth of hard work and efforts to save up for this 1 week of vacation, and it was our greatest escape. I mean, it was the coolest thing to do. So those were, and Italian men, so I'll say she loved Italian men, don't tell my father that, but so, you know, I was like, man, cruises, wine, and Italy. I was like, man, if I could do these things, like I would just feel so fulfilled. Like if I could honor her, it'd be, or like feel good about myself. Like I would feel so fulfilled if I was drinking a glass of wine in Italy coming off of it. And so with Semester at Sea, I was like, wow, this program could give me that opportunity. It could take me to Italy. It would make her, like if she knew about this, she would have loved it. You know, she would have done anything in her power to have gotten me on that ship, to have this opportunity to experience the world, even though like we obviously were very limited in funds. So, Semester at Sea.
Sorry about that. My dog's going crazy. I don't know if you're hearing them. Like, I feel like they're being loud, but like they're playing and they never play. So it's, of course, they choose the time that I need quiet. So I apologize for that. I know. Out of all times, too. It's so funny. But yeah, continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. Mm-hmm. So, you know, funny enough, Semester at Sea was offering these courses called Geography of Wine, for example, and they were teaching students about how to obviously drink responsibly, but learn about this beverage. And and as a student traveling to all these different countries in one semester, it was like, wow, you're realizing how in each country this beverage is not necessarily worship, but it's viewed highly, and it has its whole, you know, I guess aspect. It has its own look, style, feel, taste.
Yeah.
And people, you know, always celebrated it. And, you know, especially in Mediterranean countries where we were mainly visiting, you know, it's a big part of their everyday life. So
yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Seeing that, I mean, here in the U.S., obviously number one, 21 years old to drink or older. And two, wine has not really been, until recent times, a go-to beverage for the regular consumer. It's been either, you know, your Coors Light, your Miller Lite, whatever it is.
your Ultra.
yeah, Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Premium. So, like, I think there was a statistic. I don't know for what year it was. It was one of these recent years. I think it's probably 2018, but it was only about close to 30% of U.S. Americans actually have tried wine, which is crazy. I mean, we're a huge country and only 30% have tasted wine or have even like continued to want to learn more about it. The rest drink other things, spirits, hard liquor, beer, whatever it was. So, yeah. So as you can tell, I wasn't into this world of wine, but then visiting all these countries, I was like, wow, this is really cool. And I mean, a lot of people fall in love with wine when they travel abroad. They always tell you that it's like, oh man, I was in Europe or whatever, and I had some of the best wines, and they want to tell you all about it once they come back. I was the same. I came back. I told my family, I was like, we're going to Olive Garden. I'm going to teach you everything about wine. And they're like, okay, out of all places, Olive Garden too.
They have a pretty, at least that I know of, like a huge variety. At least I don't know how it is now, but I remember visiting, and they always had at least 20 to 30 bottles of something different. And
yeah, absolutely.
Mostly like across the country, I would hope so, because I mean, I wouldn't know.
Yeah. No, I haven't been in a while, but I think the last time was probably close to a year ago. And you're right. They did have a large selection of wines. They had everyone, like your everyday. I mean, you got to think about their market. Like they're kind of like everyday fine dining, you could say, or everyday casual. So they have to have that kind of type of wine available for the consumer. So yeah, they have that. They have, I think they had some higher tier stuff as well, but but yeah, going on these programs, like it just opened my eyes to the world of wine and the beauty of it. I mean, they were telling me about the five S's of wine. So the five S's real quick are sight, smell, sip.
So.
I guess you can, well, let me go back. See, I'm very bad at this already.
Dude, sight, you're good, smell. Man. No pressure. I'm swirl. Learning. That's all I sip. Care about.
sight, smell, swirl. Sip, and then the last one you can exchange. You can swallow or spit. Depends on, you know, if you're tasting wine or if you're just ready to have a good time.
Yeah.
And the swirl is very important because you want to open up the wine. You want to make sure that there's all these aromas and flavors that are kind of bound together to really open up in your glass, and you're able to experience that. You know, it's a living art, and you want to get, you know, the full exposure to this art. Yeah, man, I did this program. I realized how cool wine was. I came back to the States and I was like, man, what can I do to continue in this world? And at the time I was dating a girl that she was like, what can we build together? You know, what would be like our dream business together? That's a dangerous question to ask.
It's a big step, that's for sure. Like it's a huge deal. Like I feel going into business with anyone. I mean, like family, you know, business partners, it's always a huge decision, a huge commitment, mind you.
True.
And I mean, risk for sure.
Where will we be 5 years from now? You know, it's always a big question. And how will this business grow with both of us? Because we, not only are we a couple, but we're a team. We got to rely on each other. And it's really tough. I mean, right now I work a lot with my pops, and we've never been so far apart. Yeah, we've never been so close together. Like it really, opening a business with people you love is awesome, but it's also very challenging. I mean, you gotta put aside your differences and say, we're in this for the end goal of making this succeed. So this girl, actually, I met her on the ship on semester at sea, and so we ended up dating for a bit, and there were three things that she wanted to do, and it was some type of interior design. The other one was like a sushi restaurant, and then the other one was like something related to wine, like a winery. And I was like, well, I know nothing about interior design. I can try to make sushi, but it's gonna end up being a poke bowl. So I was like, let's try wine. Like I took a course, you know, especially after you take wine's interesting, after you take a course you start getting a little bit of confidence, and you're like, wow, like I'm pumped, I really like what's going on here, like I'm understanding what's in my glass, like I want to learn. You start geeking out. And then after that, like, it can either explode and then you're just spending so much money on wine, or you can just be like, that was cool. Yeah. And for me, it was the first. It was like I want to learn more as much as I can about this. So I was like, she was still in school. I was like, I will do whatever I can, go into more professional certifications of like wine, like the term sommelier. I was being one of the aspiring sommeliers in Colorado at the time.
Yeah.
And then she's like, cool, we'll either have a wine bar or we'll have a winery, depending on what the future holds. And so I started making small batches in Colorado, and that's where Wanderlust started forming at that point. And so Wanderlust, actually, yeah, I have a bottle. Give me a sec.
Oh, yeah. I want to check that out. That's awesome. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but that's him at Wanderlust right now, and it's fucking cool. Like I kind of plan on asking for a tour, but I mean, like, that building looked awesome. I remember him drawing out the schematics for it, and it looked pretty sick. That's super awesome. I'm actually really excited to see where that goes.
Sweet. We're back. All right. So, let me get a little closer. Yeah, we'll talk about that tap one a little bit too. But right here,
I don't know if you heard me, but I was telling everyone, like, hey guys, like look at the back while you get like have a moment, because it looks fucking cool. Like, I've never seen like a wine bar like that, and I just remember you drawing out the schematics like maybe a little over 9 months ago, and it was fucking cool.
It's definitely changed a lot, you know, throughout its inception all the way to now. When it's done or almost done, you know, we're so close with COVID, everything pushed us back for sure. But you know, we're still pumping. I think the biggest things, you know, we're still going to be short staffed while we began. We're not going to have AC for a while, which sucks in Texas.
Like, oh, the God. That's the worst, actually, especially like, yeah. You guys are in Austin, right?
We're in Austin, and we're in a building that literally faces east and west, and so you get the heat from the morning and then the heat from the afternoon. So
Jesus,
we're gonna tent it up. We're gonna put some tents outside, and I mean, we've got some fans. We're gonna
get some badass misters or something.
Oh, you know it, dude. I'm on that Craigslist day and night.
Hey man, whatever it fucking takes, man. Hell yeah. All about that shit.
There's so many things that go wrong every day. Like, it's insane. There's like 20 punches in your face. You maybe get one back, and it's so exciting to still be here. You know, it's,
yeah.
Every day you wake up, you're like, I don't know how long we're going to make it, but you got to have this can-do attitude, this perseverance to say, you know, I believe in this concept. I believe in my team, and mm-hmm. I'm going to get this going. And so, but it's, I mean, I'm sometimes surprised how I still have a smile.
I agree. I 100% agree. And, like, I love your energy, because, like, entrepreneurship, like, just so everyone knows, or I'm sure, like, some people know, right, the actual entrepreneurs, like, I think it's the hardest fucking thing, because really, like, if you think about it, it's just constant rejection.
Yes.
Until you make it. And, like, the constant no's, the constant obstacles, the constant startup, like, you know, let's scrap this idea, like, or hey, you don't have the permits to build that this way, and like you know what I mean. Like, I've heard so many like stories lately of people forming businesses or doing what they do, and it's so fucking cool to see them just still like excited, like, fuck yeah, we're doing this, and that's just how it goes. And you know, hats off to you, man. I mean, like, just to have the energy, I can't imagine personally, because I struggle enough to make this fucking podcast, and like, you know, to manage a business like of that viscosity sounds insane. For sure.
I mean, you know, you're going to continue growing in your industry and your category. And then at some point, you know, people are going to be like, oh, man, then you become a consultant at that point. You know, and that's where we want to get. We want to become experts in our field.
Yeah,
and
fuck yeah.
You're doing it, man. I mean, the thing is, the fact is that you're doing it. And, you know, you also have the same attitude of, let's do this. We're going to have some challenges, but we're going to get through it. And that's what people need. It's like, don't break. You know, keep going, baby. Let's hit it.
For sure.
So, I've got here the original packaging for what me and my then girlfriend were thinking of doing, you know, one of those wines back in Colorado back in 2014. We're making small batches. We're making wines with grapes from California and just at home, so nothing crazy. To now, today's packaging, check that out, mini keg. So two different styles of packaging.
Cool.
you know, still the same, almost the same type of brand.
Is that like half a gallon? I've never seen that keg size. What is that called?
This is a 2 liter.
A 2 liter. That's fucking cool.
So these are going to be our growlers. So we are.
That's your growler?
Yeah, that's our growler. So we'll have some keg growlers. We'll have some regular like Hydro Flask style growlers.
That's fucking awesome.
That's 2 liters, so it's a lot of wine and drink. But the funny thing is, like, you can actually find some hookups for these. They've got cool plugins where you can actually put different types of inert gases, CO2, nitrogen, to actually push wine. So you can make this an actual small keg.
So, wow. Okay. I got a whole bunch of questions after you just said that, because I'm super into, obviously, being from Alamo Draft House, super into beer and liquor and all that stuff. But I just have so many questions, but I'm going to let you finish first as you go, because it's so interesting to see a little keg like that and just how pouring wine out of the keg is, because that's crazy. That's crazy to me.
Growlerworks. I mean, Growlerworks has a lot of cool stuff. This is not from Growlerworks, but that's where I kind of started getting my inspiration from. Growlerworks is out of Bend, Oregon, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to wrap up the origin story. So essentially, you know, I was with that girl at the time, and when obviously we're not together right now, when we broke up, she was like, all right, you know, pack your bags and take off. And at that point, I actually was hired on by Semester at Sea to work for them. So I was traveling a lot for them, for a certain period.
Yeah.
And I was moving around different states for work. And so in these states, I was getting different wine jobs, at different wineries. So either at the tasting room, I was doing production, whatever it was. But when we broke up, you know, a lot of people through their breakups, you know, they can either just fall into this deep depression of like, oh man, like, will I ever find somebody better than them, you know, or just like them? You're not going to find anyone just like them, of course, because everybody's so unique and different. But, you know, yes, you will find somebody better, somebody that's better for you. And the thing is, like, we all continue to grow and evolve as individuals, and maybe they were the right person at the wrong time, but then now you're a different person. So now you're going to be looking for somebody else. And so in any case, I was like, I'm going to show you I can succeed. You know, I was in that mindset, that attitude of, I want to prove you wrong that you didn't see this through. And that was for a long time the inspiration to continue this brand. But then after a while, it was more like, you know what, like I really like this, like wine production, the World of Wine, the people behind it, like everybody's so humble and nice. The World of Wine is so small. And so there was, after working for Semester at Sea for a bit, I was like, what can I do to travel the world, continue doing obviously what my brand represents, Wanderlust, you know, traveling, the desire to travel, Wanderlust Wines, traveling the world through wine. And there was this program called OIVMSC. And so OIVMSC is a Master's of Science in Wine Management that is based out of France, out of Paris, France. But they visit 27 countries in 11 months. So,
wait, exactly. What? Yeah. 27 countries in 11 months.
Yeah, man. 27 countries
in 11 months. What the fuck? That sounds fucking crazy.
So it's like Semester at Sea, but now it's like literally focused in the category of wine. And so you're Monday through Sunday going to visit wineries from certain wine regions of the world. And you're learning from these producers, from these wine business professionals, and you're learning, you know, how it works in their country, in their business model, and then just learning of these cool new trends. So right before I went on this program, they ask you, the program itself asks you, you know, what is your goal for doing this? Like, obviously they don't just want kids to be, or not kids, but participants to go and just basically get drunk around the world. They want actual serious people to commit to, because it's you're meeting high end producers and wine legends, so they don't want you to just make a fool of them or yourself. And so at that point, I started this in Colorado originally. And funny, now we're in Texas, but in Colorado, my first exposure besides the wine school at that time, which was International Sommelier Guild, was volunteering and working for Infinite Monkey Theorem. So Infinite Monkey Theorem is here actually in Austin now. They got a new location in near downtown Austin. And they were one of the first pioneers for kegs and wines in kegs and in cans. And so in Colorado, you started seeing their wines in different bars on draft. And I was like, that is so cool, you know, especially coming up in this moment in my life where I'm learning so much about wine and I'm like just excited to try any type of wine. This was so cool. I was like, you can have 26 bottles of wine in a keg. Like, you were like even right now, you were like, oh, I want to learn more about this keg deal. Like, I was the same. I was like, how can I learn more about what they're doing here? How can I get involved? So I was volunteering. I was like, you don't even have to pay me. I just want to volunteer, and like, you can pay me in wine, whatever it is.
pay me in wine. That sounds like the best sort of payment.
Anybody out there listening, like, honestly, there's, if you want to learn about wine, there's a lot of wineries or wine businesses that would be more than happy to get your support and your help. And they'll hook it up with someone. But
that's crazy. That's awesome. I mean, it's cool to know that, like, the alcohol scene's, like, very similar. Like, obviously visiting, you know, several breweries, like, feel like it's the same mentality. Like, if you want to learn, if you have questions, like, they're very open to that communication and the link to support them too, mind you. And like, it's really cool to hear and refreshing, because I feel like a lot of people think wine could be almost snobby and like high class and shit like that. But like, you know, you're like almost one of the most down earth people right now. Like, it's fucking cool to see and hear, you know what I mean? It's really refreshing to, like, I feel like that's the perception it gets sometimes. You know what I mean?
I mean, you haven't seen me, but I've been having pinkies up this whole time. So I am a little... I'm just kidding.
Right, pinky up the whole time. Just pinky up.
I think there's a canned wine that their slogan or their tagline is pinkies down, which is pretty cool.
That so actually cool. Is cool. That's like a huge statement. Like oh, that's awesome. I like that.
They're Underwood, and I'll get to them in a bit, but Monkey Theorem was doing something so cool at the time. They were doing wine in very alternative and innovative packaging that was definitely catching my eye. Colorado, obviously known for craft breweries at that point, probably still kind of is. Obviously, Coors is over there. That's not a craft brewery, but still for breweries. So, like, seeing this, I was just like, this is so cool. And then the vibe that they had was at that location was killer. I mean, they were in the warehouse district. They had these really cool parties, and everyone, no matter their background, was drinking wine. And this was so cool because after traveling the world, it was like, wow, I can replicate this here. Mm-hmm. Whereas everywhere in the States where, you know, I was traveling for work, everything was uptight. Everything was snobby. And there's this kind of interesting phase where, you know, this is an exclusive Sammy opinion here. So you know, I hope I don't get quoted later. But there's this phase that people go through when they're learning about wine that they start like really diving into the books or into the knowledge of wine. And they start like, they get really snobby about it. They get really uptight about it. They're like, oh, no, you got to hold your glass like this. Like, oh, no, this is all. So you're like,
this is how you twirl.
Yeah, take it back. Slow down. Like, why are we all in this? Because we want to experience wine, want to have a good time, and we want to share. So wine, in my opinion, just like beer and many other beverages, wine has been the beverage that allowed me to share experiences with others. You know, it allowed me to connect on deeper levels. Beer, it's very chill. You got that cold brew coming in, you know, you've got it, and then you're just hanging with the boys or the girls on a nice weekend. Spirits can get a little crazy, you know, and so it hits you to the point where you start opening up with the people you're talking with. It gets you to that level of comfort, and you just become immediate friends sometimes immediate best friends. I mean, wine has taken me to many great heights with individuals that I like met that night, and I was like, wow, it all started with a glass that we shared, and then that becomes one of my favorite glasses of wine, you know, for a while, because I'm like, this wine like brought me so close with somebody that's so amazing, and everybody's so joined. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm getting more into the romantic side of wine, but once again, to Monkey Theorem, they were doing something so cool at the time, and I was like, I want to replicate what they're doing, but the Sammy way, the Wonderless Wine way, Wonderless Wine Coke. Yeah. So when I went on this program, the instructor or the director was saying, what is your purpose? And I said, I want to travel the world to see what they're using for alternative and innovative packaging. You know, and so Bag-in-Box is very popular here. You've
really?
Got, yeah, Bag-in-Box in a large format, especially now, like people are buying Bag-in-Box because of COVID. Like crazy.
Just because does it actually hold longer? Because I feel the plastic would ruin the wine. I'm sorry, no. Just like sidebarring that completely, but I'm curious about that.
It will hold it fresh for a while, way more than if you were to open a bottle. You know? course. But when you open a bottle, you already introduce it to oxygen. So you've got a wine that is dying, essentially. So you got to catch it while it's still alive and drink it. But in a bag-in-box situation, you know, you have a wine that's in a sealed plastic bag, and there's no oxygen or no air going in. It's actually, you know, you're taking out any type of air, because when you're pressing it, it's decompressing the bag, just shrinking it, making it really small. So no inert gas. But the plastic is porous to some extent, so it will go bad after a while. And then, you know, obviously they're playing around with different types of plastic bags to maybe allow a little bit of air to come in to maybe evolve the wine, or maybe, I don't know, depends on also how much the winery themselves or the packaging facility is willing to spend on that plastic, because it can get more expensive the more they do research. Anyway, I'm sidetracking too, but yes.
No, that was great. Thank you.
you can store wine for a long time in bag and box. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, this one can last 3 to 4 weeks. This one can last 2 months. This one can last 3 months. And then once you open it, you know. So the same with kegs. It's like, you know, if you tap it, around 3 months, typically, I would say. If it's untapped, around 6 months.
That's stellar. It'll maintain
its prime freshness. Yeah. But even then, it's like you want to push that. You know, you want to make sure that that's going. And as soon as there's oxygen of any shape or form, like, you got to get it out. You know, you want to get that product consumed. It'll start spoiling over the time. So he was asked, if you're going to join this program to learn about alternative innovative packaging. I was like, yes, and I want to see what people around the world are doing so that I can bring something unique, something that I can gather these ideas and concepts from, and then create something new and fresh here in the States. Kind of what Starbucks did. You know, he went to Italy. He really didn't invent anything new, but he brought an experience to the American consumers and now everywhere around the world. So in my travels, there were so many great moments, but there was like one moment, I think it was in Avignon and in France. They had a similar soap for a wall. And at this point, like I already knew, like I said, of wines on tap. They didn't have wine on tap there, but they had beer on tap.
Yeah.
And they had these cell port tablets. And so people were going up to the cashier. They would get a prepaid card, kind of like a Peter Pirate Pizza or Mr. Gaddy's or whatever it is. and they were basically putting 10, 20, 30 euros into it. And then they basically given the freedom to drink at their own pace. And that was honestly the first, like, wow, this is so cool. I'm giving full autonomy to serve my own drink. There's nobody behind the bar that tells me what I should or should not be buying. I just feel more in power, and I get to feel like I'm learning about the beverage throughout it. Maybe in the beginning while I'm actually like paying attention and fully sober. Yeah. After that, it's just like, I just want to keep drinking and having a good time. So I was like, this is so cool. If you can give that to the American consumers for wine, maybe it'll break the intimidation that wine already has, like you were saying. So I was like, can this work? You know, can this bring in a new opportunity for the American consumer? And I was like, okay. And then fast forward, I think it was London. I mean, around the world, there's places like this, but London was where I actually got to experience one of the biggest at that time, if not still, Innomatic machine wine bar. So they don't have kegs. They have these machines that will go into your bottle with a straw, and they'll siphon small pours.
Oh, I've seen those at HEB, I believe, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen them at HEB, but maybe. I mean, they're definitely gaining popularity. I think Whole Foods tried it for a while. Whole Foods tried keg wines for a while. I think they're still maybe doing it. But
I think Regal Theaters has a couple for their wines, too, where they just load the bottle in. Because I saw a guy change it out, and I was looking at him like, what the hell are you doing? And I thought it was neat. I thought it was super random, but it was neat, because I was just we don't have that. Like, that's for sure.
You can get some really nice, expensive wines there, and then you're like, heck yeah, like, I'd be down to pay $10 to try this $300 bottle, you know, or something like this. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it really intrigued that market of wine connoisseurs or curious wine drinkers that were like, I want to try these really cool wines. I just can't afford it. But then again, it wasn't my market. Like, my ultimate goal was to help people make wine their beverage of choice. And at this point, I feel like there's also the paradox of choice, which obviously right now this looks cool, but when you're on it, you're like, oh man, there's a lot of options. I don't know what to get, you know? And I can get a little intimidated. I don't know where to start. So obviously that's where we have our staff. But I was noticing this too from these establishments. And so I was like, Well, I don't want to do the Enomatic, like you were saying, this one right here, like with the bottle. I wanted, because I was like, is that still, what are other things that I can look at? Like, you're looking at alternative and innovative packaging that's maybe more sustainable. You know, everybody right now is looking for better ways to protect the planet, to reduce the carbon footprint.
Yeah.
And keg wines and canned wines were definitely going that route, you know. Kegs in the sense that you're transporting less weight, so less of a carbon footprint, because you're putting 26 bottles of these in a keg versus, you know, 26 bottles themselves, and that adds weight to cargo, to transport. And then cans, the recyclability aspect, you know, the fact that you can recycle cans in more, way more places than you can glass bottles. So true. And the portability, and also reducing the pretense, you know, the snobbiness of wine. So all these cool things are both, I was like, you know, I can really look into this. But everywhere around the world, I was noticing. So not only, like, at this point, I was like, I just want to grab some cool ideas, bring something to the US and grow it there.
Yeah.
Then I was like, I want to take it to the next level, because I started realizing from my travels that people were not putting their best wines in keg. People were putting their very cheap value wines that are not value, but just high margin, cheap house wines, essentially, on tap.
Yeah.
And they were giving it a bad image. You know, people were paying $8 to $12 for this glass of wine that is shit. So
yeah, they just want to pretty much obviously get, you know, the aftermarket on that shit.
Truly, truly chasing the dollar. And so I was like, no, like, that is, you're trying, you're just riding the trend, but you're not making it grow. You're just going to make it stagnate at some point. It's just going to get stuck, and people are not going to believe in it, because they're going to see that you were just in it for the money, and you're not, you weren't in it. You actually bring value to the customer. So I was like, all right. So I want to bring premium wines in keg. Obviously, it can get expensive, so we'll play around with it. Of course, we'll have some entry level. We won't have Barefoot or anything like this, but we'll have some nice entry level wines, all the way to these like high tier premium wines. So, yeah, man. So then I came back to the States. I finished my program, and funny enough, they finished in the U.S. So I did a harvest with Underwood, the people that have the tagline "Pinkies Down," and they were out of Newburgh, Oregon. But they're the famous canned wines you'll see like at Central Market, HEB, Whole Foods. They're everywhere. They're very popular with the millennial market. I mean, they're so trendy. They look great on Instagram posts. So they offered me an opportunity to do a harvest internship with them. Awesome. And after that, I got hooked, and I was like, I just want to keep traveling the world to make wine. Like, the world of wine can get really exciting. You know, you can continue to travel the world. If it's like with breweries, unfortunately, like breweries, there's not a harvest per se, because you can buy materials, you can buy ingredients, you can make batches ongoing. But with wine, it's like, it's once a year, or it depends on your hemisphere. It's once a year, and then if you finish your harvest here, you can go to the other hemisphere or prepare for the next hemisphere's harvest. Or you can kind of spread your harvest internships or jobs depending on, you know, this place is harvesting at this point, then I'm jumping here because it's getting hotter or warmer or whatever it is, or cooler, et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to live that life, you know, the nomad life, the traveler's life, and living out of a van, living out of your backpack. But my dad was like, obviously, he's still here. He slapped me. He's like, bloop, bloop. He slapped me virtually. COVID, you know, 6 feet apart. No, but he was like, man, in Mexican years, bro, like, at this point, I think I was 27. And he's like, you're 27 years old. You've seen the world. You've tasted so many wines. But in Mexican years, that's it, bro. Like, you're done. No kids, no wife, no career, no house. Like, what are you doing? I was like, Dad, it's called being a millennial. And he's like, okay, you and your big words. And I was like, no, I'm just like, I have different values or different ways of seeing life than you have. And so he's like, look, you know, your mom's not here, and I don't know how long I'm going to be here, and I just want to see you succeed. I just want to see you make it in life. And he's like, obviously, we had our differences in life, and, you know, I wasn't there in many situations, but this is the moment for me to be there for you with whatever I can. Like, I have, you know, he works He works at Walmart. Hopefully now he's gonna work at one of those wine companies. But worked at Walmart and stock. I mean, stocking, you know. And so it's just we really don't come from much. And how we were able to finance this, and this is a big question. It's like people are like, well, I had this great idea, but I don't know how to finance it.
Yeah.
Like, guys, I have lived my whole life looking for help from others. You know, there is money out there. There is money. You got to tell your story. You got to have a good story. You got to have a good idea. You got to be able to face the music and face the criticism from others. Like you were saying, entrepreneurship is all about getting rejected many, many times. And that shit will break you. It can break you. There's many nights where I've been like crying in bed. I'm like, that's it. Like, I don't know what I'm fucking doing, you know, and it really breaks you down. But at the end of the day, it's like you cry it out, you let it all out, and hopefully have somebody to vent with, you know, because, you know, that could have let it out. But you got to keep going. You never stop. And that's been my biggest advice that's given to me. I have a really good buddy that, you know, we typically, I missed it today, actually. I slept on it. But he always told me, don't give up. Just don't give up. Whatever you're going through, don't give up. There's always a way. And I'm like, it's so simple, but these are the words that I need to hear right now. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So he was like, my dad was like, let's just do something while we can. So I was looking around. I was like, okay, well, I really want to build a winery or a wine concept. So I started looking into the legalities of what I can make with what type of business model. And in Texas, you have a very unique licensing structure where they have the G permit. So the G permit allows you to operate as a producing winery where you have your own stash or your own batches of wine. But it also allows you to operate in a sense as a, what they call a seller, essentially. A reseller of other people's wines. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, I can partner with all these other Texas wineries and resell their wines here and be essentially what some would term a wine bar or what I term as a tasting room. Yeah. So now I have 56 wines on tap. So now I'm going to have 56 different producers here sell for. And so I was like, this is the perfect place that's going to allow me to grow because I really wanted to go to the Northwest. The Northwest is beautiful. If you guys haven't been out there, man, Seattle, Portland, I mean, those places are amazing. I would retire there, but it's really expensive. So real estate's expensive. Life is expensive. And I was like, Texas, I came back to my roots, but I'm not from Austin. I'm from the Valley. Once again, I lived in San Antonio for a bit, but you know, we're Austin and San Antonio, two worlds apart. I mean, different.
Yeah, it's very true. So true.
And honestly, like, once again, like, I went on semester at CA in college, but I never was here to understand the drinking habits or the drinking or the consumption trends for Texans. But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna come back, work in the industry. So I started working as a server and for other different wine stores here, just to kind of understand what people were drinking, doing, buying. And then I found this warehouse where we're starting now, and very beat down. I mean, it was needed a lot of TLC. Very different. I mean, you saw the renderings. I think you were saying you saw them earlier. What we expected them to be. This used to be just concrete block and bricks. And oh man, I'll hopefully send you some pics if you want to share with the people afterwards. In the
yeah, I'd love section. To. That'd be dope.
But we were like, let's do this. Like, I think the owner might be willing to give us a chance. And so I did this big proposal. And once again, have a good story and have a good offering. Always think if you're negotiating, like a lot of people say, like always, you know, beat your opponent or, you know, take advantage, get the highest benefit. It's like there's some truth to that, of course, right? And like just the truth of competition. But I've always believed that you got to be fair. You got to be fair. You got to find a situation that, as my friend says, it's a win-win and allows people to feel confident in the deal and in you as an individual because they're going to be partnered with you even though they're on the other side of the negotiation. So you got to be clear about your intent. You got to be honest. You got to be also fair, in my opinion. Yeah. And that's, I think, been to my benefit, to my success, because I'm like, I'm here to make this grow and I want to make you a part of it. And so they gave us a great deal for a year with the understanding that, of course, we were going to put all this money in this. So I was like, we finally got it, got the green light, but then we're like, okay, but where's the money? So, you know, I was like, all right, just give me basically 3 months. I told him, I was like, give me 3 months to figure out everything because I won't know until I start diving into the permits. I start diving into the SBA loans, and I won't know unless I'm actually doing it. Like, people won't take you serious if you're not taking already serious steps. So I had a lot to lose, and the banks would know this. And I was like, okay, I can't stop now. So those were the nights where I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, is this really worth it? It's always been about a leap of faith. A lot of people have fear to get to their next step.
Yeah.
You just got to jump. You got to take that jump. But so going back to like how to type finances. So of course my mother passed away, and she left a small amount from her life insurance policy, just enough. And I would say not even enough to make the down payment for the SBA loan. So on top of that, I still had to supplement with my two side hustles, Ubering and lifting on the side, my other full time. And if while still working on this, so we were able to get that down payment for the SBA. And the SBA loan, guys, I highly recommend it, but it is a pain. There are so many things to do for that. Just like right now, like anybody that's listening that has jumped on an entrepreneurship endeavor and are struggling because of COVID, and they're trying to get money from the government right now, you can understand exact. And right now, like, they haven't even gone to the extent of paperwork that they normally would for, you know, SBA loans. But I think that's crazy. So barely made it for a down payment for the SBA loan, and it was like, okay. But at this point, because we're barely making it, you know, it's like you meet that minimum payment. All right, brother, I'll see you soon. You meet that minimum payment, like, you've got to risk it all, and you're still not guaranteed that they're going to give you that loan. So it's scary. It's always scary, right? You got to take these risks. These are big, big risks, but you got to believe in it. You got to keep going. And we were on those final days of basically investing that down payment to the business. And we're like, so what's the deal?
Yeah.
They're like, well, there's some delays. So we got delayed a month and a half, and we closed our SBA loan on New Year's Eve.
Oh, shit.
The best New Year's Eve of my life. Because
we
were supposed to close, like, I think, I'd say like a month and a half. So I think it was like, shit, what was it, like mid-November that we're supposed to close. And it delayed until the end of the year. But yeah, man, we got through that part, and that was just the beginning journey, you know, or the beginning part of our adventure. And then after that, it was just, like I said, 10 punches to the face, you swing one back, and you just keep going. And so now construction is the craziest part of, you know, any brick and mortar business, because contractors, because everything goes wrong. And
I know about that, that's for sure.
Dude, man, I think I'll get my first I'll start letting it out for you guys. I think I'll get my first signs of gray hair soon, but we're slowly making progress. And you know, we reached this level with COVID. Of course, we I think at the beginning I said we had to sacrifice our air conditioning, which we'll get hopefully through the summer, but you know, should business be okay. And then some other things, short staff and stuff like this. But yeah, man, that is the quick overview of Wanderlust. I mean, there's still so many more challenges to go. I guess I'll briefly talk about the brand itself. So once I identified what it was I wanted to do, it was, okay, what is the brand? So Wanderlust Wines, like, how did that even come about? So when me and my girlfriend were still like on this phase of the project, you know, she's like, well, what are we going to call it? And I was like, well, you know, I found so much, how do you say, fulfillment in life by traveling and by drinking wine. Like, those were the two. And Wanderlust, and now it's like, you know, it's a quote unquote basic term, but it means so much to me. You know, Wanderlust for me was my escape, was my ability to get away from the fact that I had lost somebody so important to me. And wine was a way for me to remember them. So Wanderlust Wines, which we've now changed to Wanderlust Wine Company, was meant for that, on a personal level. But on a more audience level, like, okay, from the consumer standpoint, what it is, you know, we're celebrating travel, wine, and good friendship. So those are the three main themes of Wanderlust Wine Company. Of course, sustainability and eco-friendliness. And, you know, we're constantly learning. We're still You saw me drinking out of a plastic bottle, so you're probably like, "Oh yeah, right." But you know, we're trying to survive here while we can. We'll make some changes, but I'll show you real quick. I mean, I think we have video on this podcast. I think I don't know if viewers are able to see this or not, but
yeah, they've been seeing the whole thing this whole time.
Cool. Yeah. So I will just give you guys a quick look into what we've got going on here. So if you're in the Austin area, hopefully other places if we get to get bigger and expand. But we've got this nice little Android tablet. I think it's an Android tablet that has been adapted to our tap wall. And so you have – whoop. It's kind of bright there. But Blue Moon, I know, right? We're a winery and we're serving Blue Moon. No, these are preset menus. So essentially we have a tablet that serves four taps. So we've got 14 tablets because we got 56 taps. And they're all going to have wines from around the world. Now, if you look closely, if you click on one of these, it'll actually open up and tell you more about that product, that beverage of your choice. And so you're able to learn about that wine. Wellness Wine Company, you know, our slogan is travel the world through wine, one flight at a time. And so these are all going to be flights, essentially, that are going to be kind of, you know, predetermined, of course, but that you can kind of taste around and say, like, all right, this section right here, this is a Chardonnay flight, or this is a Sauvignon Blanc flight. Or over here, we're talking about red blend flights. We're talking about Cabernet Sauvignon flights. And so you're able to create your wine journey here on site at your own pace without that sommelier or snobby person behind the counter telling you what you should be getting or not. You know, it's all about you having fun with wine and also having really good wine, but not committing to that $10, $15, $20 glass of wine of something you don't know. You're paying by the ounce, so you know, ounce pours can be anywhere from like $1.75 to like maybe $6 an ounce. And there's about 5 to 6 ounces per glass, per glass of wine. So, you know, it can be like I think our most expensive glass of wine will be around $30 because it is a really expensive wine that that is out there. I'll show you the guts.
Nice. So getting the grand tour.
Yeah, we got some kegs in there, some babies. Let's go. We've got two different types of kegs. So since you're, you know, into the brewery scene, you might start seeing these. I mean, you may have already seen these already. But they've got key kegs, or what they call containers as well. And these are plastic kegs that are recyclable.
That's pretty cool.
Your state will actually kind of determine how recyclable they are, because there's certain things on there that might not be recyclable. So ultimately, me, I would prefer to have the full stainless steel keg. However, especially for international producers, it's not very easy to ship their wines in stainless steel kegs because it's so expensive. Like those kegs are probably, I think, like they're usually $100-$150.
Damn. And
it's half. Yeah.
No. I was just like, damn. Like I could only imagine to ship that shit. Like, it sounds crazy.
And you won't get it back. So,
no shit.
So, yeah. So people are like, all right, well, we'll make an exception and we're just going to figure ways to make our key kegs or our containers more recyclable for our accounts. I think I have my other keg out there, but yeah, essentially, Wonderless Wine Company has now evolved to essentially be Austin's or even Texas go-to spot for wine education, for wine appreciation, and wine fun. You know, we're serious about having fun. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, man, that is a quick overview. We'll have a lot of cool stuff here, hopefully, once things lift and the bans are no longer in place. And this is a big facility. I could definitely give you a quick tour as well, but definitely prefer to have you on site and show you the place. We have a food truck outside. We're pet friendly. We're literally in the heart of downtown. So with that's
that, awesome.
The biggest things in our business model were the fact that I wanted to become one of the biggest influential players when it comes to keg wine. Like, I really wanted to make it the go-to format for people. And I was like, man, with this location, like, we're going to be the go-to for any tourism that goes through Austin. And as you may know, like, I don't know if you know, but the Hill Country, which is the wine region just an hour from here, is the second most visited wine region after Napa in California. But now, because we have that quality of wine, but because we know how to party and people know that. And so they come to Austin or they come to San Antonio and yeah. they go up to the Hill Country, right? It's kind of like a little, they got to drive west. But, you know, with that, I was like, man, if I, Austin, I think, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think has more of that party scene. It has more of that just alcohol culture. Mm-hmm. Than anywhere else in Texas. I don't know. Maybe compared to San Antonio, for sure, I would think you got the Riverwalk, yeah. got certain areas, but Austin, I mean, you got 6th Street, you got Rainy Street, you got East 6th, you got West 6th. I mean, there's like alcohol. You're probably stumbling on an alcoholic beverage every now and then. So I was like, I'm going to be essentially, for wine tourism, the face. I'll be an ambassador for the Hill Country. So with these wineries, not all of them are going to be Texas, but most of these will have a Texas wine on them.
That's and, fucking cool.
People can travel the world through wine, right? Once again, they can travel the world through wine, through their glass, you know, or through their flight. And essentially, this could be their starting or stopping point as they go in or out of the Hill Country. So, yeah, man, I'm a guy that a lot of people are like, man, like, I never thought you'd get serious about opening a business. I was like, you just...
Yeah,
you gotta do what you love, and you know, follow it and believe in it, and you know, we'll be surprised where it'll take you. I mean, like where you are, bro. I'm so happy that you know you're doing this, and you know you're doing what you love, and at some point, it's just gonna take off, and then you're like, wow, I love doing these things, and I love getting to know all these people, and your network just starts growing.
Yeah,
and it's consistency.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, like, what's crazy is, like, someone actually asked in, like, one of the podcast communities that I'm part of, like, hey, like, what's the best thing about the podcast? And I'm like, honestly, like I think it's just having fun. I mean, like at the end of the day, like, I sit here and I'm social in a safe zone, mind you, considering the circumstances. But also, I'm learning so much shit, like, from different people. I mean, I've had authors, chefs, you know, last night I had someone who's on keto that lost 80 pounds, like, and I'm just learning different things that, like, either I'm interested in or never really knew of or starting to get an interest in. And, like, it's been really cool. And, like, honestly, like, it's really cool to have listeners, like, tuning in right now. I really appreciate it. I think this is the highest average watch time I've had in a long time. So, like, it's fucking cool. And that gives me, like, such a big boost, whether I have one viewer or not. Like, honestly, it just takes one person to really make my day, because I think the other day too, like, I went from 54 subs to 59. I don't even know where they came from, and like that made me super stoked, because I'm just like, you know, that's badass. Like, you know, it's not necessarily validating, but it's really cool to have someone support just something I enjoy doing, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily something I need, but like I value it so much, because it's fun, man. It's one of those things, and that's what I like about what you're doing, man. Like I've all, again, like, being a huge alcohol enthusiast, like, I remember, like, starting out in Laredo, Texas, and, you know, I became the general manager there, and we were just like, how are we going to make, like, Laredo, like, the craft beer scene? You know, like, how are we going to make this better? And, like, we got innovative, and, you know, we did different things, and we kind of stretched it in Laredo as much as we possibly could, up until I had to move, obviously. And now we were just trendsetters down there, and I was fucking great. And, like, to hear you strive to do something I've never even heard of, like, the fact that this is all self-pour, right? You said, and they could get flights and it'll just dispense.
Yes. These are, we have a few that are
so
normal.
Fucking today. Cool. Absolutely. Like that's something so innovative and different. And, like, I'm excited to go check that place out, because I'm not even a wine person, but, like, it's really cool to see passion, and that's what drives this show more than anything. Like, passionate people that, you know, I want to spread their success and, like, what they've done, because that inspires the fuck out of me. Like seriously, you know what I mean? Like honestly, like, I didn't even know what this podcast was gonna be. It was just a guy on a microphone, you know, shooting the shit with someone, essentially, was what the game was gonna be. But then it became like these stories that I'm just like, man, I used to work with you, and now you're writing or you fucking released an album, you know, and like, and that's just kind of like how this story has gone, and like hearing their processes, their thoughts, and it enlightens me to like think about different ways of how I process stuff. And, you know, it's been awesome, man. I ain't going to lie. Like I'm very excited. Like, I have a stacked week. Like, I released, like, I think every episode, like that I'm doing for this upcoming week, and it's a like it seems like a lot, but like honestly, like I have an author coming on. I have one of my friends that's literally across the world from me, and the time difference is literally like 12 hours. So like my nighttime is his morning. And yeah. Like we're just gonna get up and talk about video games and PlayStation, and you know, then I do this with my brother and a friend of mine where we share music and, you know, different artists, and we start analyzing lyrics, and you know, like this show is like slowly forming, and so many different things that I personally love, and that's what's awesome. You know, like it's just like you said, constantly evolving and pushing past like certain adversities. And you know, me mentally was more of a big thing because, like, being on camera, like, my setup's so funny right now because, like, I'm looking at the camera now, but, like, in order to see you, I have to look up at my TV. And, like, so, like, it's, like, obviously a little janky. Like, there's a sock on my microphone, like, you know, but it's just, you know, kind of what we got to do to start and learn and process things, especially, like, financially and stuff, too. So, you know, it was really cool to hear your story, man. Like coming back from, you know, because I come from Eagle Pass, Texas, and, you know, I think the population's like 60,000, 50,000, I don't even remember. But it was such a small city then, and it's consistently growing. I've had a person on from Eagle Pass too, and he's a filmmaker, and hearing like people do fucking cool shit makes me realize like I could be bigger if I want to be, it's just how I do it, you know what I mean? So it's fucking cool, man, honestly. Like, this is a badass conversation to hear, like, your story and how this happened. Because, I mean, like, I know, like, I always had you as a friend, and, like, you would talk about your business. And, you know, I tune in, I'd be like, dude, that's cool, wine bar. Like, you know, never really been, you know, I'm drinking wine. Like, I love Pinot Noir, personally. Mostly reds is what I'm a fan of. And, like, you know, I'm more on the complex side of the reds is what I enjoy. But, you know, I don't know, not nearly what I just learned today as far as, like, you talking about this stuff. Like it's fucking awesome, you know. Definitely look forward to supporting you. And when we open up, I'm going to definitely hit you up for sure.
For sure. We definitely have some Pinot Noirs in here, so we got you taken care of. you know, I'll say from this side of the things, you know, to kind of also reaffirm your efforts and kind of, like, let you know that, you know, you are making a difference. And because – you know, people, I see myself as a simple guy. I'll just say that, you know. And people are like, I can't believe you're fucking opening up a bar in downtown Austin. I was like, me either, bro. Like, I still, like, I'm like, holy shit. But I'm doing it. And yeah, every day you're like, wow, like, I am the guy I want to be. Mm-hmm. I just got to make an effort to be that person, right? And, yeah. But then it's like, It's opportunities like this, you know, where one, of course, like you and I, we were friends on Facebook, but now, and I wish we were drinking wine because I would have plugged in wine and been like, and with wine, we create an even deeper connection. But like, mm-hmm. this just allowed us to learn so much about each other within an hour. And mm-hmm. for a lot of people in the entrepreneurship level or realm right now, you know, they are going through so much, and sometimes they just need to hear it come out of their mouth, their story. To psychologically or subconsciously go back and say, that's why I'm doing this. That's right. You know? Yeah. So you're an unsung hero, bro. Like, you don't even know this. You should change. You should keep the name, but you should maybe you know, adapt it in Latin, like unsung hero, because essentially you're allowing individuals like myself to express their story, to tell their story and express themselves, which sometimes can get a little tough because they just don't feel confident or comfortable with the people that they're constantly surrounding themselves with to tell their story, or these people have already heard it. Yeah. They're ready to tell it from a different angle or from a deeper angle. I don't know, whatever it is that, you know, you're constantly evolving once again. And so I say thank you, man. I mean, this is so cool for me to let people understand what it took to get here. And obviously this is the abridged version. This is this quick summary, this is the 1 hour tour of the life of a wino. But you know, it's essentially, it's like never forget your roots, why you're doing things. You've got to have a purpose, and you got to love what you do to continue on the entrepreneurship route. And things are challenging, things are tough, and things will never, I wouldn't say never, but things will more than likely not go as planned. But you just got to adapt with the times. And so the funniest thing, and the same friend that I keep referencing, Casey, he's like, man, I think you're going to have, if you write a book, he's like, I think you're going to have an interesting title and subtitle. It's like entrepreneurship, or like a startup that launched during the world pandemic. You know, it's like not
yeah,
only is it
that's
a
true.
startup
That's
where you're
very
like
true.
going through the challenges, but now it's a fucking COVID-19 situation where nobody's coming to your business. And so now, of course, like we're still struggling. We're doing so many things, but you know, I'm trying to keep busy with these virtual wine tastings that we're doing and whatever we can do. I mean, the government here in our state is hasn't fully allowed bars and clubs to work. We, even though we're a winery, we fall under a bar and club category.
That makes sense. Yeah.
It, you know, but we have a food truck and they're under the restaurant. So our patio space is kind of the I guess, assigned area. So we can still have some people over, obviously 6 feet apart, social distancing rules, but we're doing our best to survive. And that was the biggest thing. Like I recently had another interview with Peter Austin. They were like, well, what's your mentality right now? I was like, I have to reinvent myself on a daily basis. And I still have another part-time job because this is now before I started this full or before I like really got into the heart of construction, I was having two full-time jobs. You know, I was having full-time at this place called Vineval. We do wine storage and then full-time here. And so it was like bags under my eyes, guys, and they're going to keep growing. But right now I just supplement something, you know, part-time here and there and then virtual wine tasting. So there is hope, y'all. There is hope. Hopefully, at the end of this month, things will finally come back. I mean, I don't think life will be normal ever again. I think it's going to be interesting. I was talking to somebody from a hugging culture, you know, and they're like, man, like nobody wants to hug anymore. It's crazy. Like you want to go for the hug, but everybody's awkward about it. And so, like now with self-pour, for example,
self-pour, that makes sense.
Kick-ass concept. People pour their own glass of wine, but that means people touch all the tap handles, so we're gonna have sanitized wipes and stuff like this. So it's like there's always a challenge. You got to find a solution and make people feel happy and comfortable. And yeah, dude, I think the world's gonna be different forever. We're in a movie.
It's yeah, it's definitely a crazy time, and I appreciate that, man. I mean, like honestly, like this show, like I feel like grows more every day as far as like what I think of it and what I want to do with it, and it's really cool to hear appreciation from someone that, you know, is doing, you know, huge things just like everyone else before this show. And, you know, I appreciate it definitely more than you know. And it's definitely awesome because, like, you know, again, sic parvis magna, dude, like greatness from small beginnings. And, like, you know, that's such a big deal to me and hearing people's stories. And I appreciate it for sure. Like, hell yeah, man. I can't wait to visit and talk wine with you for sure. I gotta hear it from you when I go down there.
yes sir. Well, thank you so much. And I kind of look like Forrest Gump right now, so I'll say I just felt like running. You just gotta keep going, you know. He didn't stop. And then after that, people are following him.
That's true, he had an
instinct and he ran with it. And so yeah, dude, I thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you guys that watched. I'll definitely share this with our channels in case people want to get to learn more about the origin behind, you know, Wondrous Wine Company, and obviously learn about your podcast and check y'all out. People, y'all like and subscribe and follow right here or somewhere right here.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, well, thanks everyone for watching. I mean, this has been really great. You know, I love, we definitely got to bring you back on for a recap or when you open and do like a celebration party or something, man.
We'll call it a recap nightcap and we'll close the doors and then we'll just drink until it'll be one of those drunk history moments, you know, where it's like, I'm going to tell you a story.
Yes, so, that has to happen because honestly, that sounds amazing. Like,
got to have a designated videographer, a DV.
Oh no, shit, that'll be bad. I've already gotten a little drunk on this show and I just need to watch my whiskey next time, that's for sure. But thank you so much everyone. Obviously like, share, subscribe. All my info is on the bottom. Once I update this video, I'm gonna have every link of Sammy's business so you guys can check it out for yourself. Like and follow him. If you guys like what you heard, feel free next time to ask questions themselves. It's not just me about doing all the talking. We've interacted with plenty of people before. And just know that, like, it looks like everyone was definitely listening as far as, like, what was going on with your story, because it was super interesting. And I still have so many questions. So, but, you know, we'll save that for another day for sure. But thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you, and be safe.
Yeah. All righty, y'all.
Later.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I got a call there.
It's all good. All right. Later, y'all.
It, like, logged